And seeing the multitudes, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we in great expectations of your mercy and your grace today. And Lord God, we pray to receive the nuggets from the Word of God today. And that God, that you would minister to our spirits, our hearts, with the object of transforming us, God, into your image, into your likeness, O Lord, we pray. Lord God, in the end result, we'll give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to focus on Matthew chapter 5 today. I guess I kind of gave this a title, The Nuggets of Christ. I find myself as a Christian, not as a preacher, but as a Christian. I find myself many times when I read the Word of God, reflecting back to the chapters of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, I find myself referring back to those chapters because I realize that there are things in those chapters that there are a lot of things in those chapters that many times I fall short of. Not as a preacher, as a Christian. And the reason why I say, I really believe before you can man this pulpit, you need to be a Christian first. That's very important. You need to be a Christian first. And so I need to exercise the position of being what Christ would have me to be every day. Regardless of whether I ever preach another message or not. If I'm ever going to make heaven my home, and if I ever desire to be what God would have me to be in this life, then I need to understand the different things that the Lord expects of me as being a Christian. There's a lot of people that preach, but that don't mean they're Christian. I'm not attacking people today. I don't have anybody particularly on my mind, but we as we go through the eons of time and places and all of the things that we see in the world today, we realize that there's a lot of people that stand behind a pulpit that don't serve God with any intentions of God's service, but with their own service. And so it's very important that if we want to be what God wants us to be, we need to strive to be more like Him. And the only way we can strive to be more like Him is that we need to refer to what He says. And I find sometimes that even we speculate even sometimes of what Jesus has said. And we come up short. I know I do, of what He said. I come up short at times. And so I find myself in prayer and in reading the Word of God, attempting to restructure myself in the Word of God and in the things of God. Let's focus on our Bibles today, because you know, these contraptions here are great. But you know, I feel as though over the years, as I watch us go from our Bibles to this, I've seen that we have fenced a situation that we depend upon. Am I right? We depend upon the visual part. And I think that we need to open up the Word of God and to begin to look down and to read it as though we never had these visuals before. So I'm going to be a little old-fashioned today. You don't mind that, do you? Amen. Sometimes I find them as a hindrance. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. We see in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 that the Lord did not take the time to minister to everyone that was under his voice. First of all, he didn't take the time to minister to everyone that was under his voice because everyone that were a part of the multitude, a part of the multitudes, didn't desire to be a disciple. They didn't desire to be a disciple. And sometimes, you know, the word disciple means follower, but it also means a learner. The ability to learn and the ability that Jesus might be able to teach them the things of the kingdom of God. Jesus never attempted to teach the multitudes, just his disciples. That's the only ones you see in the scripture that Jesus attempted to teach. He gave the multitudes at times parables, but he never really attempted to teach them. The multitudes wouldn't understand the ways of the kingdom, nor does the world understand the ways of God. The world doesn't understand God's ways. And because we call ourselves followers, we're supposed to understand the ways of God. And if we don't understand the ways of God, we should have the ability to learn those ways, because those things are given unto us. Am I right? So in other words, the Lord holds us accountable. He holds us accountable. He doesn't hold us accountable for the things that we don't know, but he holds us accountable for the things that we do know, and he expects us to learn the things that we don't know. And he'll give us revelation. He'll give us understanding. He'll bring teachers in our midst. He'll do a lot of things that we might understand the ways of God and understand the direction and the ways of the kingdom. That's the desire. And so the Lord sanctified the disciples at that particular time that he might be able to place some nuggets within them that the world and the multitudes would never understand. And then he went from verse, then he got to verse 2. And he says, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now in the mind of a human mind, the human mind first asked the question, what is God saying to us? Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the first question you would ask is how, if someone is poor in spirit, how could they gain ownership in heaven? That makes sense? In the human mind, that's the first question that would come up. But it's those who have a need for God, they have ownership in heaven. See, I have a need for God. And because I have a need for God, God will answer our prayers. Am I right? The Lord answers our prayers because those of us that are poor in spirit have ownership in heaven. We have ownership in heaven. God will answer our prayers if we recognize our need for Him. He will supply our needs according to His riches in glory. We don't know what the riches are in glory. We have no idea. But one thing we do know as human beings, that they never run out. They're infinite. Because we serve an infinite God. And that infinite God has all power and all authority. And so God expects us, if we're poor in spirit, to realize and to understand that we have a need for God. See, I have a need for God right now. God doesn't need me. I need God. And that's the most important thing that we need to establish, is our need for God. Not a proud spirit, but a poor spirit. A poor spirit. We have enough things in our human makeup to make us poor before the throne of God. There's enough things in our human spirit to make us poor before the throne of God. We will never be able to go before God in the state of our human flesh and ever have a position of where we feel as though we have a right to be in God's presence. But we can have ownership with God if we recognize our needs. Amen? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who repent shall find comfort from guilt and sin. Amen? From guilt and sin. The greatest attribute of comfort is freedom. You can't find comfort unless you're free. Repentance sets us free. You remember the time before you were saved? And someone, if you came to an apostolic church or any type of church that had any type of spiritual atmosphere, and you seen people had the liberty to raise their hands and to worship God. And in the back of your mind, you might ask the question, well, where do they get that liberty? How do they obtain such a position of liberty to say, hallelujah, Jesus? And really mean it from the top of their lungs and with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind. What gives them the liberty to do that? The power of His blood. The power of His blood gives them the liberty. And they have the comfort because they've repented and they're free from their sins. And they're free from guilt. They're free from guilt. The desire of the soul is to experience. Is experience in comfort, peace, and freedom to worship God. Isn't it a great thing? Isn't it a great thing to come in here and just to be able to have the liberty to worship God? Hallelujah. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Isn't it a beautiful feeling to feel the power of the Holy Ghost as God's Spirit wraps His arms around you and tell you that I love you, that you're my child, and I'm going to protect you and keep you. And all the time you realize that you're unworthy. It's nothing that you did to receive such a wonderful and great privilege. Hallelujah. Blessed are they that mourn, they that repent. Lord, forgive me for my transgressions and my sins. Create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit, O God. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those that are humble shall inherit the earth. They will find favor with God and men. Am I right? Pride never finds favor with God and men. But those that are humble will find favor with God and men. There is nothing. There is nothing that people will not do for a man that's humble. True humility is a sign of identity and wisdom, which is reward is greatness. Humility, now listen, humility can only be perfected here on earth. That's the only place humility can be perfected. You won't need humility in heaven. Humility can only be perfected here. That's why the Lord calls us to be humble. We want to inherit the earth. Did you hear me? Inherit the earth. That means if we inherit the earth, we receive whatever the earth has for us. We inherit the earth. One day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And right now, humility can be exercised that we can win favor between God and men. And men upon the earth will reward you for your humility. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus won favor with God and men. Am I right? Just because you won't win a person to the Lord, many people I have not won, but I have won favor. Favor. And if our spirit is humble, we can win favor. And so therefore, favor has to be exercised upon the earth. We can't wait to get to heaven to exercise favor. You got to exercise it now. Can't wait then. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a promise. The promise of the love of truth. What do you want? Are you willing? I want to know the truth. I'm going to tell you. That's me. I've always wanted to know the truth. I guess that's why I'm here today. Because it was my desire to know the truth. I didn't care what the price was I had to pay to know truth. I did not care. I still today do not care what the price is. Because everything has its price. And I didn't care what the price was. I still don't care what the price is. But I know, I want to know what's right in God's eyes. There's a price, a true price to pray for true righteousness. Now the question is, do you really want to know? That's the question. Do you really want to know? What is truly right? Sometimes we desire to know the truth in historical matters, but have not the desire to exercise righteousness in our thoughts or our actions. I am not referring to the law, but to the code of God's nature of moral excellence. There's a higher call than the law, and that's the code of moral excellence. The code of moral excellence is the same code that Adam was deemed with. The code of moral excellence. He was made to the image and likeness of God. There's a higher code. The law was given to govern the flesh after sin. Hallelujah. And the object of the blood of the Lamb was to take us back into the presence of God, that we can walk into the holies of holies and take on that code of moral excellence. To be a greater person than God, than what we can do in the flesh. To have a greater experience in the power of heaven being in the presence of God. And the Bible says we sit in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Not when we get to heaven, but today. Today I sit in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. A higher code than the law. Sometimes we follow the law and we think the law has everything it has to offer us, but there's a higher code, which is the code of moral excellence. God made man to his own image and to his own likeness. And when he redeemed us, he expected us to work ourselves back to that place of transformation to moral excellence. Hallelujah. That's what God expects. And to exercise it, this is a higher call than exercising the law. The law is easy. You know why the law is easy? Moral code of ethics is written in the word of God. It's written in the Spirit of God. It's written in your heart. It's written in, as God fills you with the Holy Ghost, he places that, he places his nature within you and gives you the opportunity to exercise that, because you are the children of God. Hey, hallelujah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he shall also reap. Praise God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he shall also reap. One day, I might need that mercy. You won't need mercy in heaven. It's another earthly situation. You won't need mercy in heaven. You need mercy to get to heaven. You don't need mercy in heaven. Mercy is not an attribute in heaven. You need mercy to get there. Amen. By being there, you will be a result of mercy that's exercised for you. You need. That's the only way you're going to get there, through mercy. And of course, mercy is coupled with grace, and mercy is also coupled with forgiveness. Hallelujah. Praise God. The power to forgive. To forgive is a power. Amen. It's a command, but it's a power. I have the power of forgiveness. Because God forgave me. And because God forgave me, he gave me the power to forgive others. Praise God. Hallelujah. He gave me the power to forgive others. And of course, the only way that power diminishes is once I come to a place where I will not forgive. We have a lot of people that come to altars that don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, probably because they have an unforgiving spirit. I don't know any particulars, but sometimes you just feel as though there's something there that stops them from receiving what God has for them. Amen? An unforgiving spirit is a dangerous thing in the life of a Christian. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. In everything I do, I want to have the right motive. In in everything I do, I want to have the right motive. I might have the wrong method. Praise God. I might have the wrong method. I'm human. But I want to have the right motive. Praise God. That's important. I want to have the right motive. Amen. And whatever I want to accomplish, I want to have the right motive. Because I want to see God's hand upon everything I do. Praise God. I want to see the hand of God upon everything that I do. Everything. So therefore, I must cultivate the right motive. And that's hard. That's difficult at times to cultivate the right motive. So I must cultivate the right motive in order for me to see the hand of God upon everything that I do. I must have the right motive. And so I find myself in these days making sure that I pray for the right motive. And I don't worry about the wrong methods. I worry about the right motive. Amen. Many times we put our faith in the ideas that we want God to bless. Am I right? Maybe he will bless them and maybe he won't. But one thing I do know for sure is whatsoever comes from his throne is already blessed. See, whatever comes from the throne of God is already blessed. You can't make a mistake whatever comes from his throne. You know it's right. You know it's pure. You know it's holy. You know it's going to accomplish whatever God wants it to accomplish. Amen? Praise God. Am I right? You know it's going to happen. You know it's going to take place. You know it. You won't have any doubts about it. It will accomplish that God desires for it to accomplish. Sometimes some of the things that we bring before the presence of God, we ask God to bless it, and God has no intentions of blessing it at all. None at all. Probably because he already has something that he wants to put in place. And all he wants you to do is seek beyond that. Seek beyond that and to reach for whatever he has. Because whatever he'll give you is already blessed. Whatever we want to do, we might get some of the job done, but God's going to get it all done. Hallelujah. We might get 5% done compared to God's 150%. So it's very important that we understand that the Lord, wants us to be pure in heart, because I want to see him face to face. We should seek the plan of God. It's not easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In order for us to be recognized in a relationship with God, we have to strive for peace. Hallelujah. We have to strive for peace. Peace is not always an easy situation to obtain. But if we're going to be recognized with the Lord as his children, we should be peacemakers in everything. This is the nature of God's Spirit, the Comforter. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you first get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I can't say that right now because I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And when I feel the Holy Ghost, the only thing I feel is peace. I feel peace and power. I really do. I feel peace and power God is not limited to anything. He can do everything he wants to do. But when you feel the Holy Ghost, see, God is not the author of confusion. Amen. So when you feel the Holy Ghost, you're not confused. He might have just taken your idea and ripped it up and changed it. But you're not confused about it because you found comfort in it. Am I right? You found comfort in it because you know that you have found the mind of Christ. And because I found the mind of Christ, I can take my plan, rip it up, and throw it out. And because I can throw it out, oh, I can shout the victory now. I can shout the victory. Praise God. Because I know the mind of God. And because I know the mind of God, God will provide for me and take me wherever I need to go. And I cannot fail. See, that initiates the power of God. What initiates the power of God is you don't have the possibility of failure. There is no possibility of failure. None at all. This is the nature of God's Spirit. Not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God every day for the Holy Ghost. Every day, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of your blood. Every day, every day. On good days, on bad days, on all kinds of days, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I do. I thank the Lord for it. I really do. I thank the Lord for the power of His Spirit. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, the promise of ownership in heaven. Not only will their prayers be answered, but they will find themselves living in an eternal place with God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ownership. Hey, Ashley, you like persecution? No. No one likes persecution. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to like persecution. If you like persecution, there's something wrong with you. Amen. You remember how I remember when I was a young saint and people used to say they want to do something great for God. And so they would pray for cancer that the Lord would heal them. I thought, you got to be out of your mind. I would never pray for cancer that the Lord would heal me. Huh? There's too many people around that got cancer that's still looking for a healing. Huh? But people want to do something great for God. You can't pick your own persecution. You can't pick your own persecution. You can't do it. And it's not God that necessarily allows, it's not God that brings persecution to you. But it's God that sees you through persecution. God sees you through persecution. But you have to realize as you're dealing with the position of persecution that it's for righteousness' sake. It's for the sake of righteousness. Amen. So if you're at the job and they're persecuting you, then it's got to be for the sake of righteousness. You know, I had a woman one time that did all kind of things to me to try to persecute me. She thought I wanted a job. She applied for a job. I didn't apply for the job. She thought I was going to apply for the job. I was more qualified than her for the job. It was a supervisor position. But I knew how bad she wanted the job. This woman did everything in her power to make my life miserable. She lied on me. She did all kinds of things. She tried to get me fired. All kinds of things she did. All because of the fact that she thought that I wanted that job. I didn't want the job. I didn't apply for the job. But she thought I applied for the job. What made it so bad was this poor woman eventually got the job. And she got the job. She was in the supervisor position. And she still decided to make my life miserable. She still decided to make my life miserable. And I thought, this poor woman. And I was so upset with this woman, I didn't know what to do. But I continued to pray. All of a sudden, the Lord had this woman broke out in boils. The woman broke out in boils from her head to her feet. She couldn't come to work for 4 days. I'm serious. She broke out in boils. She didn't understand it. And the boils didn't lead until I prayed for her. That's right. Broke out in boils. She sat in her bathtub for 3 days because she was so sore with these boils. The doctors didn't know what was wrong with her. I prayed, Lord. And I realized that it was the hand of God protecting me that was upon her. And as soon as I began to pray, she began to have some release. She came back to work. Unfortunately, she continued in our same situation. You know what happened to her next? What happened to her next? She was married to a man that was like 20 years younger than her. He got busted in a DWI. He got kicked out of the military, and then 2 weeks later, she was on a plane going back to the States. And when he got back to America, he divorced her. Did that have to be? I don't think so. But she was attempting to persecute me because me and her used to sit across from each other, and I used to tell her about the Lord. And she would listen, but she would get irritated. She would get irritated. Persecution ain't fun. It's not fun. Not by any means. I've been persecuted several times, especially on the job. I have went through a lot of persecution on my job. But I can honestly say one thing, that there was not one time that the Lord did not deliver me. Not one time. Because if you're willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll have your times of suffering. We have to remember that Satan could not find a permanent abode in heaven because of his unrighteousness that was seen in his own heart. Amen. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. The ultimate experience is to be persecuted for the sake of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gift of salvation is the cleansing agent from God to prepare us for his eternal abode. Christ experienced rejection and shame, and we, for the call of God, might also share that same experience. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for we will receive a great reward. Let's stand. Hallelujah. The nuggets of Christ. There's more nuggets behind that. I probably could have went on. I'll continue it another time. But I want us to understand that the Lord wants us to be Christians. He wants us to be examples of what he was and what he is. And we need to take on his imagery. And we need to shed ours. Amen. It's not easy to be what God wants us to be. But like I said last Sunday before last, we have a plus. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's use it. Let's use His Spirit. Because it can't be done in the flesh. If it could have been done in the flesh, we would have still been subject to the law. But it can't be done in the flesh. It cannot be done in the flesh. So let's not discourage it. Let's look forward to it. Praise God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's pray, y'all. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the Holy Ghost today. We thank you for the power of your blood that you poured out, Lord God. And we thank you for the power of your word today. And we pray in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus that your perfect will would be established in us each and every day, Lord. That we would see ourselves as you would desire to see us. And we would do the things that you would desire for us to do. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify and we magnify the greatness of your divine name and your authority. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you'd bind us together with cords of love, of mercy, and divine strength. The Lord God, that you would receive glory and honor from our mouths, from our hearts, from our daily adventures, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray also that you would bring us back. Bring us back, Lord, at the appointed time to worship and to praise and to magnify the greatness of your name again. We pray again for your traveling mercies and strength. Lord God, we give you glory. Hallelujah. We give you glory today, Lord. In the precious and marvelous name of our God. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand. Praise. Greet each other.